Chapter 31. The Real Story of Adam and Eve. Summary by Eve. When I was still at the very beginning and mentally devoured the Telos books, I found in one of them the indication that the real story of Adam and Eve was quite different from what we are told by religion and the Bible. This Bible story is actually a slap in the face of the real Adamic couple. It degrades the majesty of divine beings to the primitiveness of a rib, of nakedness and a fig leaf. It reduces the Eternal Father to a bouncer. And Eve's sin then becomes a justification by which generations of women are reduced to a problem and mistreated for millennia. It was promised that Aurelia would do a channeling about it with Adama, but that never happened. In the course of time, I found out what it is all about and also realized that if I don't tell it in connection with Adama, probably nobody will take up the matter. There is a source where this story is published in full detail, but there the connection with Adama of Telos is not made. After many hours of working with Adama, I asked him about it at some point, and when you ask Adama, you actually always get an answer. Adama was and still is the planetary Adam, who was sent here to the planet with his cosmic complement Eve after a long selection procedure of the divine hierarchy, in order to compensate deficits and to be a role model in terms of civilization and a messenger of God for the original planetary inhabitants. This mission was based on a cosmic contract, the background of which I do not want to go into detail now, because that would go beyond the scope. That Adama was the planetary Adam, I did not know at the beginning. At the end of the first mentioned, long session from the still following piece. Adama's Shakuhachi. I asked him directly out of an inspiration, and he affirmed. I will now summarize the story for you and then add a conversation I had with Adama on this subject. First of all, I have to clear up the claim that Adam and Eve were the first humans God created, or the first humans on this planet. The planet already had a civilization that was troubled by dark forces, so Adam and Eve could be called the first higher universal humans to settle here, H-humans. The planet was under dark leadership within the framework of a rebellion, which was labeled as Lucifer Rebellion, whereby also here as so often already, the winner wrote history, and urgently needed a strengthening by highly developed cosmic beings. There is in the universe the Sun Order of the Lifebringers, who are called Adams and Eves. As a pair, they are each divine complements and are always sent together to planets that have need. They work on the sphere of Jerusalem. Before such a couple was sent here, there were people who knew about it down here. These people did not know when the couple would arrive, but they actively prepared everything for it. In this case, it was a man named Van, firmly anchored in his knowledge. The paradise that is always spoken of was logically located on this planet itself. The location that was selected as the first choice was in the eastern Mediterranean. It was a peninsula through which the river Eden flowed and emptied into the sea. This peninsula was secured on the mainland side by a wall, which was supposed to prevent the then wild tribes from invading the paradise. In our modern language, we would say that a community was created there. In the center, the Temple of the Eternal Father was built. There were dwellings for servants, and dwellings for the divine couple and their offspring. When the couple finally arrived, they brought with them from their home base the legendary Tree of Life, which was planted in the courtyard of the temple. Adam and Eve could nourish themselves from physical food, however, also exclusively or also additionally by light. They ate 1x a day at noon, and purely vegan. The appearance of Adam and Eve was characterized by the radiation of light, which was visible through the clothing mainly around the head and on the hands. This is the origin of the halos, depicted in ancient paintings. Adam and Eve had come as teachers. They gave this civilization cultural values, an alphabet, writing, games, and humor. One soul regularly came into incarnation with them each year, with the children later marrying among themselves as adults and founding a dynasty. Adam and Eve, as well as their descendants, were also immortal. Among those around them, the impression was that this had to do with the fact that they would eat of the fruit of the tree in the temple. Near the garden there were villages with native tribes that benefited from the Garden of Eden. This functioned quite well for the 100 years. However, Adam and Eve could remember their origin by the density prevailing here more and more badly. So, it came that doubts crept in with Eve. Everything seemed to go forward much too slowly, and the dark guidance of the planet set here the foot in the door. To make a long story short, Eve believed it would be beneficial to link her DNA directly to the natives. In plain English, she betrayed Adam in good faith with the tribal leader Kano. This was a breach of contract that, according to universal laws, would cause Eve to lose her privileges and be separated from Adam. When Adam realized what had happened, he deliberately committed the same breach of contract by giving his DNA to the native woman Lata. Thus, it can be said that Eve acted in good faith, while Adam deliberately committed the sin so as not to be separated from Eve. Eve and Kano's child was the legendary Cain, who later slew his brother Abel, who was Adam and Eve's next child together. Because of Eve's misstep, an inferno arose. The inhabitants of the Garden of Eden fell upon the village of which Cano was the tribal leader, and wiped it out completely. When this became known, tribes gathered to move against the Garden of Eden. Thus, Adam and his family had to flee from the Garden of Eden and move to a place that had once been chosen as an alternative to the first garden as the second Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden was devastated when the tribes arrived, and the temple was burned down, along with the famous Tree of Life. The second garden was located in Mesopotamia between the Euphrates and Tigris rivers. When the inhabitants heard that the high priest of Eden was approaching, they all fled, and Adam found the land cleared. However, they had to start from scratch, since nothing was prepared here. On the way to the second garden, Adam and Eve were called to account by the cosmic overseers. They were deprived of sonship and their cosmic privileges because of their breach of contract, and they were given the status of ordinary people. Also, all minor children were taken away from them and brought to their cosmic home sphere. All other descendants of theirs were free to choose whether to stay or come along. Since the damage was already done, Adam later decided to pass on his DNA to as many natives as possible until he and Eve died a human death. Thus, the basis of the Violet Race was created, which was later also called a race beginning with A, whose mention cannot be made here because of the circumstances. Only this much about it. The carriers of this DNA are tall, blonde, and light-skinned. After this incarnation, Adam and Eve meanwhile received back their sonship status, directly from their boss, our creator of this local universe, creator son of the Eternal Father. They are now back in the council of this planet, serving as the high priestly couple of Telos. Adama talks about Eden. Beyond Eden. I'm meeting Adama in the lounge of the ship Atlas. I've been here before. Adama wears his simple white t-shirt, like mostly on his meetings with me. His hair surrounds his face like a halo. His open smile and his look out of big blue eyes couples with an irresistible and loving smile on his lips. Sweetie. He welcomes me with warm joy in his voice. Daddy. We hug each other. Then he lays his arm around my shoulders, leading me to an oversized big sofa where we take a seat. New topic. I start. In Germany we now have a car called Adam. Adama laughs. And every female driver feels like Eve? You mean driving Adam in his ruin? Giving him a direction, perhaps. Would you mind taking direction into times of Adam and Eve? Oh my, sweetie. You want memories to become alive again? If you don't mind. Adama takes a deep breath and leans himself back, stretching his body. These were challenging times. Adama sighs. Look into my eyes and imagine how I looked back then. You refer to me as Adam. I see him even taller than now, every part divine. Not hard to understand how people felt driven to adore him on the basis of his majesty. I also have a flashback to when his body started to age, to be bowed with sorrow nearing the end of his incarnation. I remember Eden. This paradise on the planetary peninsula reaching into the east of the Mediterranean Sea. I remember my dad, my mom. My brothers and sisters. The big gardens. In sunnier days. And I'm curious about what Adam will tell on remembering these ancient days. Sitting on the shore of the now and having a seat in the planetary council of this planet. Can you imagine, Eve, how a descending son forgets about his origin? Memories just vanish. Fade out. You know. Success was slow. Or as you would say, eternity can get really long. I have always had broad shoulders, but this was more than just shit happens. Your adored and beloved wife tells you that she is pregnant from a man beyond Eden. You get aware that the working contract was broken. And when rumors spread, your people in whom you had set so much hopes just go and slaughter a complete village, just because of the fact that Eve's lover was living their men, women and children. I was becoming bitterly aware that brothers from a parallel sonship of our father Siam would not let there be any room to us for mercy after a broken contract and that my wife would be regarded as a fallen sinner by them, meaning probably separation of her and me. I had to overcome myself and commit the same sin, so that I'd appear guilty. Two, so that we might share our fate. Then we left Eden, which felt like leaving our home, and not only our home, but we also knew that we had taken home away from our kids and grandkids. Forcing them to leave for another territory that still had to be cultivated by hard work, so that we could save our lives and still be of any use to our Creator, instead of becoming pulled into a war by relatives of the murdered inhabitants of the village near Eden, who had already reached out to attack us for reasons of revenge. Finally, the sky darkened from the ships of the returning Melchizedek trustees. Eve and me had already made up our mind about the consequences of our failure, But what they announced was more terrible than what we had imagined to foresee. At first, we were told about the loss of our sonship. I could hardly trust my ears. Which loving father and creator of a universe would ever cast out his son and daughter? I was asking this question to the MS. They seemed to have faces of stone when they answered me. It has been decreed like that from the upper hierarchy of Orvantin, Lord Soraya. At least Eve and me knew that our beloved father had not pushed us away from his heart. But then, the next terrible step came. Tearing families apart. You and Adamson still had very young kids. I saw terror striking on your heart, beloved Evora, and on Adamson, who loved you so dearly. Now no mother with a loving heart will leave her kids, and so you joined the group leaving with the craft of the MS for returning to Jerusalem. When the MS finally left, everything was a battlefield of chaos, tears and broken hearts. They had come down like hawks of a faraway spiritual upper-class hierarchy, and when they left, everything was a greater mess than before. I had always told my big family that love, mercy and forgiveness are guaranteed by our Heavenly Father, and now they stood in front of Eve and me, asking with tears in their eyes, where was love when the Melchizedeks came? And all I could answer to them was, I don't know. Eve, 2021, I don't want to mess with the fans of the Melchizedek Sun Order at this point. The fact is, this planet still has Mashaventa Melchizedek as planetary administrator of the etheric plane, however, it must be said that Mashaventa is not a typical representative of his teacher Sun Order. I have already been in telepathic contact with him, and he is really alright. According to my information, there had been a certain infiltration in the universe with this Sun Order which was not in the sense of the Creator. More I do not want to go into it now. Don't ask me, Eve, where I took the power from to go on and build a second garden. To go on leading the clan. It was terrible, too, seeing Eve's son Cain, whose father Kano had been Eve's lover. And who now lay dead murdering his brother Abel. Maybe this was a test if I would push him away from me. But I did not. Eve, and every little bit of encouraging success was so slow. How many nights did I occupy my mind with questioning how my beloved Heavenly Father Christ Michael, not sovereign by this time, was in pain about knowing what the MS had told us. And I thought, my. It's just a contract. A contract on a quarantined world of matter. So what? On one hand it's true, rules shall serve the development of mankind, but if exceptions cannot be made and man becomes a slave to the rules, rejecting the attorney of love, whom does it truly serve? Absence of mercy and love, Eve, are forming a downward spiral away from the Creator. Looking into the faces of them, I was able to maintain my countenance, but inside I was crying, as I saw things derailing and going totally wrong. At least I still had my beloved mate Eve, but it tortured my heart to see the remnants of all these families where wives and children had been forced to leave, out of free will. Of course. Christ Michael once appeared in a dream to me, telling me that he'd still regard me as his beloved son, and that finally Eve and me would receive our sonship back. I then had another Adamic mission with Eve in Lemuria, and thanks to CM we're allowed to have you as our daughter again. Since I felt the absence of love with the MS, I'm even more prepared to make love a living ingredient to everything. Yes, CM has gifted us again with the status descending sons as he is now sovereign, and a lot is moving. I love you, Eve, for your dedication and discernment. For your courage and righteousness. Hope that someday the MS will be able to see these valuable virtues too. I feel that this sequence of events left deep trauma in many. I comment. Including myself, as I was a witness. Adama nods seriously. Yes, Eve. This is certainly so. Many of us remaining down here were not able to recover for a very long time. Truly, the MS had returned even earlier, and I had asked them for advice, just to find them rejective and cold as ice and lacking any empathy. The ship meeting us on the road to the second garden was a Seraph transport, and when we saw Gabriel of Solvington announcing the consequences, we were very much aware of the fact that everything was cemented without the slightest chance to discuss. I still remember my eyes glued to Gabriel announcing the facts, and I felt somehow that he was not happy to do this. Of course, nobody seemed to be happy at all, but I sensed that he was following some kind of dictation, leaving him no choice. Of course, had we heard of the consequences even before starting our mission, and looking back on what happened in full knowing that none of us ever had intended to break the contract intentionally, I found that there had been indeed room for a merciful interpretation in regard of the consequences. But this remained a thought, and was never spoken out officially up to this day here when I'm now telling you about. We willingly bowed and did not try in any way to defend ourselves. We were lucky indeed not being declared guilty of joining a rebellion, which would have been ridiculous indeed, but still thinkable. What kept us going was trust in the fact that our beloved creator Christ Michael might know about the big morning in our hearts. And how about casting out your sonship? There was stated it was some kind of automatism resulting from your failure. I thought to know the process very well, as we were life-bringer sons, the only order of CM sonships being gifted with the process of creation, while all other orders of sons were of administrative sorts, or teachers, like the Ms. in our Jerusalem experiences before we had studied the process of creation into detail and were pretty much aware of how our material bodies were fed by the energetic strings. Interruption of this process influencing the material body was not a kind of automatism resulting from an interpretative failure, but something triggered by mixing the pure divine energy with a different sort of energy from planetary mates like Kano or Lada. But this would just have influenced our incarnation, not our sonship in general. Before we had been permanent citizens of Jerusalem as direct sons of the Creator, and this was lost, or declared lost, we were moved into a different stream. So to say, downgraded to change our status from descending sons to ascending sons. As far as I know, this has remained the only case ever happening like that in this local universe. And later many universal personalities secretly signalized to Eve and me that they charged this downgrading and change of status as something very hard and inadequate, and especially as nothing our Creator would ever have decreed out of a need felt by His heart. The fact that He was not yet sovereign was the only explanation matching a decision which He had to sign, but which seemed to be forced upon Him. In the universe, nothing ever is a one-way street. The UB states that the loss of the sonship by breaking the contract was an automatism and inevitable. And this is best suited to be bought by people whose inner eyes are not yet fully open and heavy from a long sleep. But to a discerning reader it must seem strange, especially when finding that even the person Lucifer indicted to be the originator of a terrible rebellion was never cast out in regard of his sonship. You know, Eve, down on Urantia there are questions which must not be asked, and as below, so above. When Eve and me lost our sonship due to an unintentional failure which we deeply regretted, how can it then happen that the so-called leader of a rebellion can remain in his sonship? The answer would either be in consequence by the upper spiritual hierarchy, or otherwise a secret which is kept very carefully. Which could be something like a big hidden complot against CM and Lucifer trying to reveal it, while the strings of the rebellion might even have been pulled by infiltrated higher forces, blaming Lucifer for it. Behind the back of his father using a mask of mercy and taking advantage from letting Lucifer keep his sonship so that everybody would know about the fact that a very innovative Michael son had resulted to have such a rotten son, an image which would even more downgrade the father of Nebadon himself. Adama, this is more than spooky, and if intrigues of this big sorts have been injected into the foundings of Nebadon, there is no other way than to get that up to the surface. This rotten fish will continue to stink more and more, until its mean odor can be smelled on every energetic hallway of this local universe. I declare I will not stop until truth has been proclaimed, real truth, not faked ones supported by deleted archives, etc., and I apply to Papa Source to support us in cleansing and clearing up things. Perhaps it would do good to Soraya changing his sonship into an ascending stream, starting again on Worlds of Matter. Pay attention, take care, Eve. Adama warns me. This seems to be David fighting Goliath. But your flag is clean, and your intention is pure. And David succeeded finally. Big S would tell you that it's not worth risking everything for protecting a meaningless creation at the Wild West peripherals of the great universe. But as I know you, you'd counter to him that love to your father CM is thicker than blood. Yes, Daddy, I think so. Thank you for sharing your thoughts so openly. Do with it what you think is right. Don't expect too much, but indeed, sometimes wonders do happen. Okay, I think now I understand what it means to be east of Eden. The goal is to make this planet an Eden all over, and then continue to make Nebadon an Eden of the universe. Yes, Adama, I have been one with the Eternal Father, and I will not cease to serve His will to make love and light triumphant and superior over any intent of mean destruction. We hug, and for a glimpse of a moment it seems that we are back in Eden in the golden rays of the morning sun caressing the branches of the tree of life growing in the yard of the temple of the Eternal Father.